Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Rocky Top Roundtable for this UTEP week. It's the home finale, and you know Tennessee comes home for kind of a dud finish from a standpoint of like who you're playing, right? Like, I mean, this is one of the worst teams in college football, UTEP. How do you generate your own juice this week?
Well, I think that's the challenge for Josh Heupel, and that's the challenge for the leadership of this team. I mean, you got still plenty to play for. I mean, it's not like the path to the playoff is a 12-step path, Rob. I mean, you can still get there. You've still got plenty to play for. You need to show yourself well this weekend, and that's starts with the head coach and the tone he sets this week.
Absolutely. But this is all about your leadership, I think, all about the culture of your football team. And I would be stunned if, you know, Tennessee doesn't win this game regardless, but I think you're going to learn a lot about the character of this team just by how they show up, how they play on Saturday after a really disappointing loss. But like you say, you know, nothing is impossible, especially with the chaos that we have routinely seen in college football.
How do you get the juice? How do you get up off the mat after you've been knocked down? Number one, you're in the college football playoff picture. That should be motivation for anybody. Number two, it is senior day. There is a ton of these guys who have been with this program through the ups, through the downs. You want to reward those guys, maybe their final home game at Neyland Stadium. So that should be a motivation for anybody, but also you're right in the middle of this playoff talk.
And for some of them, it's their second final home game of their career.
True. Or the first thing.
Let's talk Nico.
And for some, it could be potentially signing up for their third. You never know how that's going to work in this crazy world that we live in right now.
That's a Seinfeld episode in its own right. Let's go back to Nico. I thought he played solid the other night. Again, a kid that, you know, the offense still just seems like it lacks playmakers on the outside. The receivers didn't help him a whole lot, and they didn't try to stretch the field vertically very often.
Well, I mean, I thought Nico did in that environment with, you know, everything he'd gone through during the week. I thought his accuracy was really on point for the most part. Look, I mean, everything was a contested throw, and I think nobody has had a better bead on the vertical passing game that Tennessee has than Kirby Smart, particularly after year one. We talked about it, Rob, after year one, who would spend the summer and get a real feel for Tennessee. After year one, Tennessee's had two plays of 20 yards or more in the passing game in three matchups against Georgia. Nobody has limited Tennessee's vertical passing game more than what Georgia has. Now, they've been elite on defense from a talent standpoint, but boy, they've got a really nice bead on Tennessee's vertical pass game.
I was impressed with Nico from the poise standpoint. You didn't have the bad turnover. I mean, he felt heat all night, and we didn't see, you know, one of those throws where he kind of got outside of structure like he did against Alabama and just, you know, kind of heaved one. I mean, I think you could see some growth there. And like you say, the stats aren't great. 167 yards. You got to take that environment into account. And he played mistake free until that last, you know, frantic drive where, you know, laid one on the ground when it didn't matter. But I think he grows up a lot from that, a ton. And again, to your point, it wasn't like he was missing a lot of open guys downfield.
Yeah, I think he had a good presence for the game for the most part. A couple of those third downs he just took off and took what the defense gave him, picked up the first down, moved the chain, saw that a couple of times. Earlier in the season when pressure was kind of collapsing in front of him, he would bail quickly. I thought he stood in the pocket a couple of times with pressure bearing down on him and, you know, made a throw. He missed high a couple of times. He threw behind a couple of receivers, but I thought Squirrel bailed him out a couple of times. But for the most part, I mean, I agree. I think Nico was fine in Georgia, and I think for his progression and his growth, for him to go down there and play like that in that environment, I think just going to continue to help him grow and improve throughout the course of his career.
I think he's taken real steps since the first half at Alabama.
Since the run, Brent.
Yeah,
Alabama.
From second half Alabama, that scramble moving forward, I think he's taken real steps and has played solid. He's got to continue to grow, but he's starting, I think, to really get comfortable with the speed of the game.
So you got this week, again, an inferior opponent. It's one of those things where you have to balance. Like, you know, he really needs the work to kind of, you know, get some momentum, right, versus, like, not playing too much and putting himself in harm's way.
Well, I mean, I think that you got to go out and win the game, okay? And you need to win impressively. So you need to take care of business. And he plays based on how well they play early in this game. And this is a game he should get out of the game early. I think you got to heel Dylan Sampson up. I think you got to be smart, but you also got to play well. And I think that's the challenge for Tennessee, is they got to come out and take care of business early against a really struggling football team.
Sampson, Rob, is 235 yards away from breaking the single season rushing mark of 1464. He's at, you know, I think 1230. This is a kid that just continually steps up. Another 100-yard performance in Athens. Is this a game, though, where you do just kind of shelve him outside of maybe a couple of drives?
I you know, Vanderbilt's no juggernaut, but we have seen, I mean, they could beat, you know, obviously they beat Alabama at home, and that's no guarantee. I mean, I'm sure that Josh Heupel has one sentimental eye on making sure that Dylan is well positioned for that record, but he's going to make sure he's healthy for Vandy more than anything.
Let's go back to the beginning of the season. I know it feels like forever ago against UTC, NC State, Kent State. I mean, Tennessee got in, got business taken care of in the first half, and then he and Nico didn't play in the second half. To Brent's point, go win the football game, do what you got to do, and then if you do that, then you know you're not going to be in the football game, and you'll be able to rest and recover. I mean, I think Peyton Lewis needs to have the football 15 times. If Deshaun Bishop returns, this needs to be a Deshaun Bishop game. But you go in there, you score in your first few possessions, then you're even if the first team's out there, you can roll with the Dylan Sampson, and you know, or you can roll with the Peyton Lewis, and then allow Sampson to kind of get that much needed rest that you need him for the final game, and of course, hopefully a playoff run.
If the offensive line's protecting okay, then Nico plays longer than Dylan Sampson in my mind. I'm not saying shut him down, don't dress him, but I'm not playing him much. He's got too many bruises and he's beaten battered too much for what he's done for Tennessee. You need him healthy for Vanderbilt and then whatever's beyond that. So I'm really cautious with Dylan this week.
I don't disagree. Defensively, I don't think anybody saw them playing the way they played, not being able to affect Carson Beck at all.
Right.
Beck having just – I mean, as Eric kept saying, he's baking cookies back there. What are they, snickerdoodles? this shouldn't be a game where Tennessee ties, you know, they should get right because they're playing again an inferior opponent. But this is, to me, like you need to see an angry Tennessee defense this week.
Yeah, I mean, I would have lost it. I mean, I would have lost money if you'd have bet me that Tennessee didn't have a sack in this game. Rob, I would have probably lost everything I own if you bet me that Tennessee would not have hit Carson Beck for 60 minutes. Tennessee's got to get back to playing more cohesive and tied in, tied together. It feels like there's a little bit of just kind of a little bit more one-on-one type play. I don't know every play call up there, but it doesn't feel like they're as tied in and working together as well as they were early in the year. And it's kind of felt like that the last couple of weeks.
I was stunned, gobsmacked, flabbergasted. I mean, the fact that not that they didn't dominate the game, but like you said, that they didn't hit him, they didn't affect him at all. And the few times where, you know, they kind of even get a whiff of pressure on him, he gets out, he scrambles three times for 32 yards and a touchdown. I was floored. I mean, and only two tackles for a loss, you know, outside of the sacks. The fact that Tennessee's pass rush, the front seven as a whole, did not generate negative plays in that game. Generated two. I was stunned, and like you, I would have lost my house on that one.
What about bamboozled?
It does bamboozle me, AP, that they were not able to affect Carson Beck in any shape, form, or fashion. I mean, and again, I'm not saying that I anticipate they would dominate them.
But you didn't think he'd have a 7-on-7 affair,
especially with just 7 days before they couldn't block. I mean, they couldn't protect him. They couldn't block Ole Miss, and Ole Miss may be better here and there, but it's not like they're light years better. It's certainly an argument.
Zero quarterback hits. I mean, they literally didn't hit him at all. Of course, no sacks. And, you know, if we're trying to find some momentum for this defensive line, for this team in general, going into Vanderbilt, a game that you got to win, of course, it's coming up against a group that's 2-8, lost four starters on the offensive line, and is allowing 171 yards rushing against them. I think, again, we talk about it week to week, there's opportunity there, and there should be this week, but they got to put all that frustration, turn it to anger, and get after the quarterback this week and get back to being who you are, which is one of the better units at front seven or defensive line in the SEC.
Well, Eric said it, Brent. Tennessee, early in the year, got in, got out, got their work done. Here we are late in the year. There's a few more nicks and bruises and those type of things. Is this team, a veteran team in a lot of ways, capable of continuing that against, again, an inferior opponent?
Well, that's what you hope. That's what you expect. It's what Rob was talking about off the top. It's the culture in your program. You know, your culture was there early in the year to take care of business and to get games over with and let the young guys go play. And that's what the mindset has to be this week. And there probably are some defensive linemen and offensive linemen guys who would like some rest and not have to play 84 snaps in a game. But you got to go out and execute early and get that done. Tennessee should. They're going to have to create their own juice. I like that it's an early game. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I just go out there and play and move forward. I think that's Tennessee's challenge.
Well, yeah, you get in and get out, and you get to be a college kid at nighttime. There's no night game.
Yeah, I think that's – I was piling my point up here. I was going to say, I think that's good motivation for this one. I think Hubbard hit the nail on the head.
They are. Eric Kane, Rob Lewis, and Brent Hubbs. I'm Austin Price for the Rocky Top Roundtable.